And then it moves slowly down my arm and into my hand. And then I knew it like we know the sky is blue, that same energy, that feeling went into my dad too. I knew it. And in that moment, I just had this knowing in the depth of me, we are eternally bonded. And I had immense peace. And I hugged my dad and I said, "Dad, I don't know what that was, but I know you felt it too. I love you so much, and it's okay if you go."
Amber Kasich, welcome to Passion Harvest. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to this conversation as well. Thanks for having me.
I love the work you do and your evidential mediumship. Just for the audience, just if you don't mind sharing a bit of your brief background and the death of your father, Frank, and how it propelled you into this realm or this world or your spiritual growth. I'll leave you to answer my questions.
Okay, well, let's see. All of life, I've been doing life very normally, if you will. I was a classroom teacher for 15 years, and then I moved into educational consulting. I have a lovely family, husband, son, and in 2020, on November 1st, actually, 11/1, my dad passed from a terminal cancer illness. And not only did we have a shared death experience on that day of his passing, something that I had never heard that term before. Many of us have heard of things like people experiencing interesting phenomena around the passing of a loved one. Shared death experience is when you have a direct experience that cannot be explained any other way in relation to that person's passing. But even about, I would say, 6 months or so leading up to his passing, I started experiencing a couple of interesting things that I just was dismissing as my brain. But I now know that my dad and I were sort of, if you will, entering in this spiritual partnership before his passing. I fully believe that what occurred was predestined so that I am here with you today as a big part of the purpose. And when his passing occurred and in the subsequent year, he really guided me to a greater reality, to my great surprise. I wasn't trying to become a medium. It wasn't something I ever expected for myself. He was communicating with me in ways that I absolutely could not deny. I would call them mind-blowing, worldview crashing. And while it began with just him, eventually it grew to the loved ones of people in my direct sphere. And then that grew to others, people that I didn't even know. And eventually, I had a moment where I said, "I am a medium and I have to accept this." And that began really a journey of understanding what this is all about, how to show up and do this work with integrity, ethics, and honesty. And for the whole purpose of bringing spiritual sunshine to others.
Thank you, Amber. I just love all how you shared all of that. Oh my gosh, I've got so many questions. If you don't mind sharing, you said some mind-blowing experiences, how your father tried to communicate with you on this journey. Do you mind sharing some of perhaps the symbols or synchronicities that you were ignoring?
Absolutely. Well, I'll share the first because, in a way, it's the most important. If you're interested in the experience I had with my dad, that was the actual shared death experience before his passing. That's something I can either share here and/or can be found on my social media page and Facebook page because I tell that story so often, and people are interested in that. So that is there, but.
I would love you to share that as well, but I also will leave a link below in the
Okay.
show notes.
All right. But just hours after he passed, about 5 hours after he passed, I went to a park. I was just mentally exhausted. I had been with him the whole week, But yet I wasn't really heavily grieving. Looking back now, it was a gift in a way, while very hard for me to be able to grieve the year up to his passing because it allowed me to prepare spiritually, emotionally, mentally for his passing. When he actually passed, I was at peace. And I was sitting in this parking lot of the park, and I finally really let some tears go, again, just from mental exhaustion. And I heard my dad's voice directly in my mind, and he said, "Get out of the car, Ambie." That's, well, my name is Amber. He called me Ambie pretty much my whole life. "Get out of the car, Ambie. You've cried enough tears over me in your life." And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. I have cried enough tears over my dad in my life. We had a lovely relationship, but also some really tough stuff. And of course, but I thought, where, I'm just making that up. Where'd that come from? My brain is inventing that. But I got out of the car and I started walking. And as I was walking, I just said to myself, I hope you're all right, Dad. Because in that moment, while I had a faith, I had a belief. My belief at that time was more that I believed there was much bigger beyond us that we can understand and comprehend with our brain. But I also have had, like many of us do, a growing spiritual journey throughout life that has changed, grown. And so I don't necessarily haven't necessarily had one very narrow-minded way of thinking. I wouldn't say I had the answers, and I didn't necessarily want to say I had the answers. And so in that moment when I said, "Gee, Dad, I hope you're all right," it was a little because I was unsure. And in that instant moment, without even a hesitation, I heard his voice in my mind again, and he said, "I'm just fine, Ambie. I'm gonna stick around here a while and help some people. And I'm happy about it." And I stopped walking because I, as Amber, would have never said that. If I were making it up, I would have said at that time in my life, "Heaven's so beautiful. I'm with our dogs, Thunder and Bailey. You'll get to see them one day. I'm with my parents and my granddad," someone that he talked so much about, hoping he got to see again one day. That's what I would have said. I would have never come up with, "I'm going to stick around here a while and help some people." And my next thought was, and how telling is this? Who would he be helping? Did not even really consider that would be me. How could I not think that? But I didn't. And that speaks a lot to the nature of the healing journey that he was going to take me on in the next year, as well as expanding my worldview. So that was a really key moment. But just a couple other few fun ones. For a while, I kept this all to myself, didn't tell my mom. I was afraid to, afraid of myself, afraid I was going crazy, afraid of what she might say and think. But eventually, I did tell her. I started by saying, "I think I'm having dreams of Dad." And in one instance, for example, and to make listeners laugh, my dad shared a funny, intimate detail about my mom that, let's see, was something like, I don't want to give too much detail because my mom will listen to this and she'll kill me. But it was something about having a mark on one of their behinds, if you will. I could never know that. And this was a little detail that he had given me. And so I reached out to my mom and I simply said, "Mom, I had this dream and Dad was being funny and he shared this detail." And my mom started laughing so hard because there was not only that, but also kind of a personal joke between them about this. And I had these little markers of clues like this that something else was going on. Like many of us, I would just see what we many of us consider as little signs and synchronicities, like a coin falling out of my pocket and me noticing that it had Old Kentucky Home on it, a song that my dad absolutely loved that I didn't even know about until his passing. So feathers that would just suddenly show up all over my house. I don't even know how they got inside. So there were these things that, like many of us, we go, okay, but is that really real? And we want to rationalize it away because it doesn't make sense. But I say now, let the love in. Let the love in, because when you are letting the love in, you are inviting a conversation with more love and more of life, this beautiful essence that there is to life beyond just our five senses. And then I had one moment, after I had started sharing with my mom some things, where she really believed. She, like me, she was like, well, yeah, how could you ever know that? But yet both of us were just in this space of, but how can this beauty be? How can this beauty be possible? And then I had a day where I was working away my regular job at the computer, and all of a sudden I felt this presence. And by that time I would recognize, this is my dad. I feel it. I feel it in my body. I feel it in the space around me. And I heard his actual voice in my mind, and he said, call mom. She's eating pudding right now and is so sad. And I had such a moment of, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid to call her, because what if she's not? If she's not, this is all made up. I've made this all up. I'm enhancing it and making it up further. And it was actually a very scary moment for me. And as I felt that, and I actually had a moment where I said, no, I'm not going to call her. And I felt my dad's disappointment. I felt the emotion. And so I thought back and, okay, I'm going to call her. And so I picked up the phone. I called her. She answered the phone. She was crying. And I said, mom, were you just eating pudding? I haven't seen my mom eat pudding since I was a kid. And she's crying, yes, I'm eating pudding right now. Why are you asking me that? So I told her. I felt dad's presence. He told me, you're eating pudding right now. How can we deny that? And she was crying over him. She was in a moment of grief because she was trying to fix something in the house that my dad would normally attend to, and it wasn't going well. And it was reminding her of all the grief of the loss, and then he's not here and she's on her own. What a beautiful way for my dad to not only enhance my journey of belief, but give my mom that knowing too. Our loved ones are here. They are not gone, even when it's unrecognizable to your heart. You are not alone. My mom is not alone. She doesn't hear from my dad in the same way I do, but it's not because he's not there. He proves it over and over again. It's simply because, for whatever reason, this was a part of my soul path. And so he has opened me up to this understanding. And so my abilities may be enhanced, but I also really believe in my heart of hearts that all of us have this ability, if we choose, to understand it and grow it a little bit by really just tuning into our heart space more. We all have this ability on some level to connect and feel our loved ones and the beauty that lies within life, but is beyond our traditional five senses.
Ah, but now I'm crying. That was so beautiful.
Well, and
it,
I real quickly,
but this is your show. Don't you take as much time as you want.
well, I go back to, my dad saying, I'm going to stick around here a while and help some people. He was helping me for sure in many ways, healing, growing my understanding of this greater reality. He was helping my mom in her grief. He was very worried about my mom before he passed, but he was also helping us, my mom and I. We have a better relationship now than we have ever had. There's a lot of reasons to that, but in part, I think my dad's love helped us heal in ways as well that needed to be healed.
So really, death is not the end.
No, I have zero fear of death anymore. Granted, I love life for
I'm not ready to die either,
a very
but
long
no.
time, but I no longer have any fear at all because we are going to be enveloped in love when we leave this physical body. Absolutely.
I'd love to talk about that more in a moment, but if you don't mind just sharing part or briefly or all of it, your shared death experience with your father.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. It was about 12 hours before he actually passed away. Although I have this understanding now through my mediumship experiences, and I would be happy to share after as to why, that our souls can begin to transition before we take that last breath. And I have had some mediumship experiences where I've had experiences of mediumship with people that are not yet passed but are in hospice care that tell me this is so. And I share this because it's relevant to this shared death experience. I believe it was the moment my dad's soul transitioned, mostly, although he really took his last breath 12 hours later. I was laying beside him in the hospice bed. He passed at home in the living room. And I was holding his hand. It was in the middle of the afternoon. And I was just in that moment of immense pain because, it'd been days. He'd been unconscious. I was never going to hear his voice again. But yet he was here. He's still here. And so it's a very painful place. And it caused me to think about all the things that would never be. And it's like I'm just waiting for him to pass. It's a really hard place. And I also was thinking about the past and things left said, unsaid, some things left undone. And so it's like I was in this place of in between. I have a dad, but I don't have a dad. He's already gone, but he's not gone. It was so painful. And I think to escape that pain, truly, it wasn't even intentional, it was to escape it. I just became fully present. I had to stop thinking because the thinking was painful. And I just began to love, just focused on unconditional love, holding his hand. And in that moment of that full presence and unconditional love, I suddenly saw colors of purple kind of swirling because my eyes were closed. I'm laying there, swirling in my mind's vision. I didn't think anything of it. But then I felt this odd warmth encompass me, starting at the head and flow down to my toes. And I remember thinking, oh, that must be the sun just coming in the window and playing tricks on me. So I'm just completely rationalizing this. I didn't think I was in some type of experience. But then, with full clarity, I felt a whoosh come in my back. This experience was so new, especially when that moment began, I had no time to judge it or decide what it was. I just knew that I felt it. Almost like a wind, but coming in my body. And this energy, words I never used before, was kind of here in the middle of my chest after it came in my back. And it started making small swirling motions around the center of my chest. Or in the spiritual circles, we now know we call our heart center. It was just sort of doing this in circular motions. And then it moves slowly over to my shoulder. And then it moves slowly down my arm and into my hand. And then I knew it like we know the sky is blue, that same energy, that feeling went into my dad too. I knew it. And in that moment, I just had this knowing in the depth of me, we are eternally bonded. I had no idea. I'm going to get teary yet. I had no context for what that meant. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew we were. And I had immense peace. And I hugged my dad and I said, Dad, I don't know what that was, but I know you felt it too. And you take all that love and light with you in your core. Again, words I didn't really use before, but were just coming to me. You take all that love and light with you, and you leave the old news behind. I love you so much, and it's okay if you go. It was such a beautiful moment. I kept it to myself because I just, in a one way, I didn't know what to make of it, and I think I needed to process it, but I actually felt a joy. And I didn't even know where that joy was coming from, other than I just had this knowing we're bonded. Looking back, I really believe that was my dad. He was the one letting me know we are eternally bonded. And he was showing me that by giving me the experience, bringing it into his physical self. That's when he really took his step into the other world. And it was 12 hours later in the middle of the night. Actually, he passed during daylight savings time on 1/1/1, November 1st, when we were absent of time in between that time change. We weren't sure what time to write down on the death certificate because what time do you write? which I just find now so ironic. Because all of this is about what can be, what is possible when we consider outside of traditional space and time.
I've got many more questions, but all of these experiences, not immediately, allowed you to create or guided you to create Nature's Way. What is that for the audience?
These experiences to me are nature itself. You are nature yourself. It speaks to the interconnectedness of everything, both what is seen and unseen. We think of nature as just a landscape. And yes, that is a part of that. But there is so much inside of nature that is innate, creative. If you look up the definition of nature in the dictionary, you will see Merriam-Webster. You will see not only does it describe that typical topography that we think of, but it also describes it as a creative and controlling force in the universe. A force. Nature is also a force, and it connects you to the unseen. It connects us to the beyond. It connects us to each other. And then for me, specifically, I call this nature's way open because through nature, the physical nature, I was experiencing a connection to life. And this will sound silly in a way. I was not, well, I always appreciated nature. I
Well,
was
nothing
not.
silly on Passion Harvest.
Okay, great.
So now you're just getting weird, just for the audience. I'm
All right.
joking.
Yeah, because I was not, that what someone would call like a tree hugger before and that kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But as I would just, again, to process all that was happening, take long walks in nature and things like that, I was feeling not only alive in a new way myself that I couldn't really make sense of, it was like a physical experience, but also life was alive. A tree was no longer a tree. I was seeing it with this sense of aliveness, and it was being shown to me like in a visceral experience, that all of life has its own beingness. And we are connected to it. We see nature and see ourselves as above it. Yes, we have a superior intellect, but we're not. We're not. We are connected to nature. It is connected to us. We are nature ourselves, and everything is an interplay. My own nature was opening myself up to this interwoven connection with life. And while I was given this gift of grace, and I call it this breadcrumb journey to see that, it doesn't just pertain to me. It's who we all are. It's who we are. And all of us can learn in the ways that will be best for us to grow an understanding of this connection.
Absolutely agree. Beautiful. Do you mind sharing your, I will put a link in the show notes. Do you mind sharing your website with the audience?
Sure, it is www.naturewayopen.com. And the typical social media things, Facebook and Instagram, all that jazz, YouTube is also at Nature's Way Open.
I'm just thinking, I'm talking in my humanist terms, your shared death experience, what you experienced, or perhaps your father shared with you. Could we term that in our human terms as God?
I think we can put whatever name to it that helps us feel connected. I think that these are very personal journeys for all of us. We need to have the words and the labels that help us take our next steps and help us feel connected. At the same time, what I have come to understand is that there are many paths, and the thing that unites them all, and that I consistently feel in all of my own connections and in mediumship sessions with others, the thing that unites it all is love and worthiness. This was a real lesson for me in that first year. And what a beautiful understanding to come to. You are already whole, already divine, already worthy. We don't have to prove ourselves. Innately, you already are those things. I'm going to leave it at that.
Perfect answer. So you call yourself an evidential medium. What do you mind just sharing with the audience of what is that? And everyone has different ways. How do you connect with non-physical energies?
So,
That's two questions, sorry.
yeah, no, that's okay. An evidential medium is an individual who is able to connect with those that are physically deceased and provide verifiable evidence. Evidence can be so many things, things like the person's manner of passing, their age, illnesses they had in life, fond memories that the loved one in spirit shares with their loved ones here on earth. Personality is really important because, to me, when I am connecting with an individual in spirit and I really feel their personality, such as like, oh, this man was a real talker. He was always wanting to da 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 and then do this and da 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 and make sure you do this. And when you really pick up those feelings in your body, you know you are in a real-time interactive connection with someone. It's not just, oh, I'm picking up random facts. I love that personality piece because it helps me really know not only who this person was in life and a part of their essence, but it helps me really feel that connection. So that to me is really, really important that we're able to pick up on those kinds of things. But evidence can also include current events about the earthly person's life. Just yesterday, I was having a session with someone in which they were this loved one in spirit, this woman's dad was helping me understand she's in a major career change. And then he showed me biting into an apple. And with that, I just knew you're going into something, this new career path that you're diverting to is about teaching. And she got a big smile on her face and she said, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. And there was tons of applause from him. It was, just that affirmation and nudge that she's on the right path and really just encouraging her. So evidence can look like so many things. I will tell you, if you don't mind, the day
Please.
I said, I'm an evidential medium. And I have to accept it. It's a really beautiful story. One year after my dad's passing, on his birthday, my family and I, my mom, myself, my husband, and son, We went to a house I grew up in. It's a home out in the woods. It was my dad's favorite place. Lots of acres in the backyard. Our home backed up to a forest, a state forest. And we wanted to spread his ashes behind the house. And so as we pulled in the driveway, I knew I was going to knock on the door with the man that lived there now and just make sure that that was okay and I had permission. So we exchanged just a couple minutes of conversation. I was telling him how much my dad had loved this home. It was his favorite place, and he gave me that permission. Well, later, by then, at this point, I was already having these experiences with my dad, and I was doing little 5-minute meditations in the morning, sometimes at night. And in my next meditation, after we had spread the ashes behind the house, for me, it's just a moment to not connect to anybody, just experience presence and peace and love. And it's very grounding. And as I was in that moment, all of a sudden I felt this female presence, and then I felt this male presence. And I just somehow knew this is that man in that house, this is his mother, and this is his brother. And they began to tell me things alternatively. His mother shared that she loved flowers, that she would go on daily walks. She shared with me in my mind an image of a kitchen potholder, white with a green and yellow flower right in the middle. And I knew this had been passed down in the family, that it was special, not just one that was bought. And then this brother over here was giving me actual physical pain in my side. And with that, I just knew, oh, he had to give himself injections, like if he had some type of illness or disease where he had to give himself daily injections. And he helped me feel a little bit about his personality. And then it was like this co-message of just, we are here, his mom expressing such appreciation for him, for caring him. Her son caring for her. And I'm writing this all down furiously on the little hotel notepad.
So you don't forget.
Yeah, I don't want to forget. And they sort of leave my awareness, and I'm thinking to myself, it feels like a mandate that I have to go share this with him. But, this stuff is sacred. I don't want to be in the street and be like, hey, I hear this about your loved one, and da 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 da. This isn't about the attention seeking or, surprising someone with this beautiful thing. Not everybody wants these type of surprises. It's very personal, very, very personal and sacred. And yet it felt like a mandate. I felt that I had to. And so I thought, how am I going to do this? I am so afraid. What am I going to say to this man? But I decided I'll go there. I will simply, I'll not lie. I'm going to tell him I've been having these experiences with my dad's passing. This happened to me this morning. I feel it's your family. I wrote it all down. Would you like to see the paper? That was my plan. And as I pulled in the driveway, he had all these political flags over the house. And I thought to myself, this is going to be the least woo-woo person. He's going to think I'm totally off my rocker. And I knocked on the door. And just to make some small chit chat, I had seen like a little cross marker in the grass, like if you bury a pet, a dog. And so I just use it to make small talk. I said, oh, hey, I see you have this marker over there. You must have had a dog. We had a dog too. That passed when we lived here, fully expecting him to say yes. And he looked at me and he gave me this kind of funny smile. And his face said to me, should I really tell her? That's what his face said. And you could hear and see the pause. And then he said, I lived with my brother for a long time. I took care of him. And he loved hummingbirds. And one day one flew into all these big windows here and died. And it made him really sad. He was sad for a long time. And we decided he wanted to bury it. And I looked down at my paper, and the first thing I had written down was special bird in a box. And I just knew right then this was safe to share this with him. He just gave me his vulnerability, and now I'm going to give him mine. And it was a real moment of serendipity. So I told him, I gave him the paper. He looked at it all. He said, "Yeah, you know, my brother had diabetes. He gave himself daily injections. Yes, my mom went for a walk every single day. It was really important to her. When she got too old, she'd even just walk to the mailbox. I wasn't allowed to get the mail." And then he said, "Hold on a minute. I'll be right back." And a few minutes later, he came back to the door, and in his hand, he had this kitchen pot holder, white, yellow and green flower in the front or in the middle. And he said, my grandfather made this for my mom. It was passed down in the family. I had to go through three boxes to dig this up. You could have never known about this." And about a week later, because we had exchanged phone numbers, he called me and he said, "Amber, I've been thinking about this for a week. Why did this happen to me? Why me?" And I love this question because for the last year, I have been asking myself, "Why me? Why is this happening to me?" And by then I knew the answer. "Because you are worthy, Larry," is what I told him. "You are worthy. You're worthy of hearing from your loved ones. We are worthy of feeling that connection. We are worthy of being helped. We are worthy of hearing apologies when they're warranted. We are worthy." And he said, "This has changed my outlook on life." He was really sad and alone at that time, he shared with me, and this really gave him hope. And that day I said to myself, "I am a medium and I have to accept
Well, you're kind of like an angel.
it." Can I share? I've never shared this before,
Please.
ever, because I always want to be very humble. It's very important to me. And I love that before when I did this, I always do a little meditation before every experience, and I felt my dad, and he gave me this symbol of a horse riding through a pasture, and the idea was, "Amber, say it all, be free." In that story I shared, when I was walking the morning after my dad passed, and he said, "I'm going to stick around here a while and help some people," he had also said to me when I got back in the car, "You're like an angel. You just don't even know it." And then he said, "Well, you kind of do. You kind of do." And I love that. And you saying that reminds me. So I think this is one way that I can show up in life and be of service to others. But I think we're all angels in our own way. And I think that's the point. Partly of life. What are our innate gifts that we can express in this world to bring more kindness, joy, compassion, love, even if it's just to the people around us? Doesn't mean we have to be famous for it.
I mean, it's kind of what life's about, isn't it?
I think so, absolutely. Why do we have this idea sometimes that we think we're waiting until we die to experience this beautiful existence? What if instead the point was to create this beautiful existence collectively while we're here? This isn't supposed to be drudgery and then we move on to beauty. Yes. We're always going to have challenges that we need to learn from and grow from. That's how we grow. But maybe the whole point is to grow not only with our individual selves, but collectively as humans. If we think over all of history and time, I know sometimes it feels like we are in really trying times, but I do think collectively as a group, we are always evolving toward more love. But what could we do with that if we had the awareness that this is a part of the point? how much faster would we grow in that direction as a collective human
Yeah,
group?
different and very positive perspective. Thank you, Amber. What do you, well, from all your experience and what you've shared, what happens when our physical body dies? What happens to our soul, our consciousness?
So I can share what I believe. It doesn't mean it's the capital THE truth, capital T, but I'll share what I've surmised based on my experiences. When our soul passes, first and foremost, we are greeted by loved ones. I know that from mediumship experiences. I know that from a mediumship experience with a man in hospice who is still physically alive. And here comes his brother in the connection, giving me all this personality. And wow, he was just so visceral to me. And he was excited. I can't wait for my brother to be here. We're planning a family party, he said. And this came with evidence. He showed me about his mom, all about her. And then she comes into the connection and she shows me she's setting the table, preparing for him, getting ready for this homecoming. And again, that coming with fantastic evidence. And so I know we're greeted by loved ones. I also know from my healing journey with my dad that we will have an opportunity to understand our actions in life and how they impacted the people around us. I have understood that we get to feel the emotions of the person that we impacted as a way to expand our soul perspective of a situation. In a mediumship session once, a brother brought me to a very in spirit, brought me to a very specific incident, an argument that he had with his sister that caused her great pain. And he showed me with the evidence what were the emotions of the situation? What was the overall circumstance? And then he helped me understand. I get it now. He helped me feel what she was feeling. And it was very true. And then she was able to receive a little bit of healing from that because he was here to acknowledge the pain that he understood that he caused her. At the same time, while we learn from those experiences, I think we want, as humans in our brains, we like the idea of justice. What's fair, right? You caused harm, so you get punished, is kind of the idea. I don't know, but I don't think it's quite like that. Can we all think of a time when all of us as a human understood how we hurt someone and we didn't need a physical consequence yet to change our behavior because some part of us just got it. Like we understood the emotions or we were able to see a bigger picture. We don't have to be punished to be able to change. We don't have to be punished to be able to love better. Sometimes we just need to be exposed to new feelings. It's my belief that that's sort of what it's like, that we get the opportunity to see situations unfold again and experience the harm caused. We also get to see the beautiful impact we had on people and experience that as well. So I think absolutely we will have the opportunities to learn from our physical life. And then I think we have the opportunity to decide what it is we want to do in that next realm. Like my dad, do we wanna, I don't want to say stick around, that's a very human word, but do we want to be more earthly, a little bit concentrated, or have the ability to do that when we want and help people? Do we want to play golf? Because you'll get to in some way, maybe not with a physical golf club, but through an energetic experience. And I know we are always growing, even on the other side. I'm told that over and over again in mediumship sessions. We're not done growing.
Yes, lots of growing challenges, conflict, all the every joy, everything. It's a lot. For those that, and many people are afraid of dying, what's your advice? I'm just feeling that, perhaps someone who's watching this that has an illness or close to dying and terrified.
Well, I get the chills as you ask that. So that means that's the right question to ask. And I'm going to pause for a second and just ask my heart to be influenced so that I can say the right thing. I know what I would say in my own brain, but I want it to be the right words. You are loved. You will not suffer. It doesn't, and I feel that with needing to understand what we mean by suffer. Because, yes, at times there, and my dad in the last days of his life, there were moments of what we would consider physical suffering, if you will. It doesn't mean that we don't have some experience of challenge, but this feels so direct. You are supported through it all at a soul level. And not everything is, I'm here, 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 boom, I'm gone. There are transition periods going on, especially when we're passing from an illness. And those transition periods are a lot of times where that soul support comes from. And sometimes what can seem like suffering to an observer doesn't really mean there's suffering going on. And in that moment of true soul transition, we are immediately ushered in to sensations of expansiveness. That word is just coming to me right now. That's not from me. To love that I already know. And this is not coming directly from me. And to a journey, I hear that is to each our own. We're not necessarily all going to experience the same exact sequence of things, but the sentiments, the energetic reception is the same. Expansiveness, love, light, and I just see this both release but being enveloped into something new. All will be well. That I know. All will be well.
Amber, you're amazing. I've loved having you on the show today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the Passion Harvest audience that I haven't asked you? On a final note, take your time, no worry.
Such a great question. Let's see. I'd like to share. I first of all, when people ask me that question, the thing I always share is you are worthy. And I talk about the why, but I really think we've covered that in our time today. So maybe what do you think your listeners may want to know or understand about mediumship? Let me ask you a question. What do you think that they want to know or understand?
I think, well, speaking for them, how do I do it? How do we do it? How do we connect with our loved ones? How do we connect with the non-physical dimensions, and how do we become more aware and expand our consciousness?
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a dynamic process and it's not math. It's not one, two, three, and then you get Z. We definitely have to, first and foremost, begin to feel for our soul self. Because you are not just this. This body is housing your soul self. your spirit self. Your spirit self isn't like a little thing that's tucked in somewhere. Your spirit self is this energetic beauty and essence that is a part of your beingness. And so it's important to get to know that. In a mediumship session once, to help understand that, because it is really essential, a gentleman in spirit shared with me that his granddaughter, who is my client, often tried to convince him of her political beliefs. They had very differing political beliefs. And he shared with me, but she never was successful in life at changing my mind. It was a really funny moment. And then he said, but I'm not here to say anyone is right and someone else is wrong. But what I am here to say is, in spirit, I don't see things like race, gender, all those kind of identifiable markers. We see essence. It's essence after essence after essence. And so I share that with the listeners because a really important question is, what is your essence? A part of my essence is that I've always been a bridge builder. It's something that I feel I was born with. My parents would say I could look back in my little childhood years and see evidence of that. I was always really interested in other cultures and people different from me. That's a part of my soul essence. Some of our personality is the result of our experiences. We often think that we are whatever we see as our personalities. Some of that is just your human stuff. What is your essence? Is it a giver? Is it one of, beauty and compassion? Look to discover that for yourself, because that's a way of letting your soul self well up in you. That's number one. Also, we do need practices that help us quiet the monkey mind. And I think those are different for everybody. I don't think that one practice fits any one person. For me, getting out in nature, not taking a step counter, not listening to music, not listening to podcasts, getting out in nature and becoming aware of everything around me. Listening to the birds, hearing the waves off in the distance, hearing the squirrel crunching the leaves, as they run across. It's a way of becoming really present with life and drowning out the thoughts in your mind. Those two things, the mind letting it sort of fall away and letting the soul self well up, bring you to a state of alignment with life. Alignment with the essence of what's here beyond the thoughts, emotions, physical manifestations of just life stuff. It brings you to an inner alignment with life. And that's a journey. So it does take dedication. I know I was given a gift of grace, but it was breadcrumbs. I too had to grow in this, and I did that through these types of practices. Getting to know my soul self, having these fully present experiences. For me, that's nature. Other people, it's through dance, through playing music, piano, meditation as well, of course. Got to find the right things to you for you that bring you to that inner state. That's the start.
Amber, you're amazing. You are an angel, and I love it. I'm just thinking about essence. I'm going to write that down and dive deep into that. Thank you so much for being on Passion Harvest.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about these things. I love sharing the experiences, and I hope everyone walks away with something to support them in their own personal path.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you. Bye-bye.